If you have your Bibles tonight, and I believe this group does, amen. Let's run over to Psalm 81, Psalm 81. I don't think it goes to 181, but anyway, Psalm 81, and we'll see what God has for us tonight. And I'll tell you what, I want to play a little chorus. This is in my head, so I got to get it out of my head. I want to sing this little chorus, amen. And it just simply talks about just how good our God has been to us, amen. And just the chorus part, and I said, why not the verse? I don't know the verse yet, but let's sing the chorus of this. And just think about how good our God has definitely been to us. Amen. Amen. That's what, I don't know if you got D or not, buddy. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams. When I go to sleep each night, and though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good. God's been good. God been good. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, my God's been good. Through it all, God's been good. God's been good. God's been good. Tell you folks, if you start thinking back all of your life and the things you face, what you've gone through, our God has definitely been simply this. Amen. Good. All right, let's run now to Psalm 81, verse number 8. Let's all stand, and we'll see what our God has for us tonight. Good to see everybody here tonight. Good house, good folk come in to hear the word of God and be helped by it, and then help somebody else. Amen. All right, let's read the Bible says in Psalm 81 and verse number 8. We're jumping right in the middle. The psalmist has always spoken about how we need to shout and praise God, verses 1 through 7. Then he pauses in verse number 7. Then he starts back up saying this, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth small. I'm sorry. Open thy mouth wide, and I will, not might, but I will fill it. Amen. And I want to talk tonight on that verse number 8, which says, and I will testify unto thee. The title of our message tonight is simply this, folks. God's pledge to us. God's pledge to us. God helps. We are weak vessels. God, we have no real power, no real might. Matter of fact, that which we have will falter on us. But God, we've got your strength and your Holy Ghost power. But that means, God, we got more than enough to be conquerors in this life. I pray, God, tonight, as we read your word, as you speak to us through the word of God, I pray, God, to stir our hearts. I pray, God, to stir our emotions. I pray, God, to increase our faith and our confidence, not in our abilities, but, my Father, in your pledge to us, your promise to us. I pray, God, there's one among us who might be downcast in spirit. There's one among us who might be broken on the inside. We can't see it. We can't see it. But my dear God, you see exactly what's going on the inside, the most inner part of our soul and our spirit. But I pray, God, tonight you come by as a great surgeon, and I pray, God, you do that work on the inside that only you are able to do. And that God will shout, hallelujah. I pray, God, for that soul that's hurting. I pray, God, to heal that hurt. And I pray, God, to fill me up with your Holy Spirit. God, my tongue, my speech, my actions, all that I do. I pray, God, that you will be the great orchestrator. And I pray, God, we leave this evening much encouraged because of your presence, your Holy Ghost presence tonight. And we'll thank you. Help somebody, because somebody needs your help. For it's in your son's mighty, not a weak name, but in your son's mighty name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe see it. God's pledge to us. I don't know about you, but I like it when somebody makes a pledge, but also they keep the pledge that they make. Amen. The first thing we see here, the Bible says that he said, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. That word testify means simply this. It means to witness. It also means to call to record. In other words, he said, I'm going to give you a testimony. I'm going to give you something I want you to lean on. In other words, I'm giving you a pledge. That word pledge means a word of honor. It means an agreement. It means an assurance. It means a covenant. It means an oath. It means a promise. When me and my wife got married, when we stood at in my pastor's office after that morning service, back on July 23rd, 1989. Wonderful. Amen. I was worried there for a second. 1989, when we stood in my pastor's office, and he was standing there, and the children were there, and Christian and DJ were standing there, and the pastor was there, and I had two witnesses, Terrence and his wife, and my wife had two witnesses, which was, what was her name? Mark and Denise, amen. They were standing there. Then my pastor's grandson happened to walk in and said, what's going on here? Who can make it married? He said, can I stay? He said, sure, go ahead and stay. He stayed in there, amen. Steve Moody and my dad was there. As we stood there before my pastor, he went over the vows. And we said this, toward the end, he said, till death do us part. We were making a pledge. We were making an agreement. We were making a promise to each other before a holy God. But folks, we've got a God that makes a pledge to us. But what's so awesome is he don't break his pledge. Amen. He does not break his promise. Amen. But he keeps his Holy Ghost word. Amen. And I want to look real briefly. Let me get some, I believe, some chicken in the back. But we're going to look real briefly. And we're going to see what God's pledge is to us. By the way, let's run for a second. I'm going to show you something real quick. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Sometimes we look at the Old Testament and say, well, you know, that's back then. But my friends, the Old Testament was written for a purpose, and I have mentioned this from time to time. But I want you to read it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11. And the verses before that, he's talking about all things that happened to Israel. But he says in verse number 11, now, all these things happened unto them, Israel, for examples or pattern, and they are written for our what? Admonition, which means our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. He said the things that happened to Israel were written down, my friends, described to us for our admonition or our warning. In other words, we can learn some things from what took place to the towards the children of Israel. Look at me one more time in Romans chapter 15 and look at verse number 4. Romans 15 and verse number 4. The Bible says this in Romans 15 verse 4. The Bible says, that Paul says, to the church, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written, that means previously, were written for our learning, that we, oh my, cuss word, we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. He said to us, these things are written, my friends, for us to learn, that means to be instructed. Patience, that means to have endurance and comfort, exhortation of the scriptures, that we might have what? Hope. And I want us to look real briefly at some promises that God gave to Israel, a pledge he gave to Israel. As long as Israel did what he said do, then God said, this is what I'm going to do. And my friends, if we want victory, each of us, this afternoon, this evening, if we want victory, then whatever God is telling us to do, let's do it. Because he keeps his promises. He keeps his pledge. Our dear sister said that she had some requests. And one of those requests is that to take away that desire to smoke. Do you know what, my dear friends? What God's going to do? God's going to speak to your heart. He's going to show you exactly what to do. But guess what? It's up to you to follow exactly the plan that he prescribes for you. Right. Now, I know some folks, and I know y'all may put me out on this one. But I know some folks, they'll come to me and they'll say, well, preacher, I'm smoking 2 packs a day, but now I'm down to 1. You know what I say to them? Well, glory, amen. I say, you're a lot funner than you were before, amen. And now some of us say, well, bless God. Listen, my dear friends, progress is something to shout about, amen. Progress is something, my friends, to exalt God about, hallelujah. But God give us a pledge. I want to see real quick. We're going to be done. I want to see real quickly. His pledge. First of all, we see that God's pledge to us. Verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, listen to me. That word listen, the word hearken means not only to listen, but also to obey. He says, to hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship bow down any strength to any strange God. God says, if you listen to me, if you follow my directions, then you're not going to worship anything but me. Amen. You're not going to worship your house. You're not going to worship your car. You're not going to worship your job. Instead, my friends, you're going to worship me if you listen, if you hearken to what I say. Now watch this. That's his pledge. And look what he says here. He gives them a reminder in verse number 10. I love this verse. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That word brought means to recover or to raise. You were a slave in Egypt. You were beaten in Egypt, shackled in Egypt. But I came by, I want to remind you that I rescued you. What is he basically saying? I kept my promise. I kept my word. When you followed me, I brought deliverance in your life. Many of us, my dear friends, he has rescued from Egypt. We were lost on our way to a devil's hell, but Christ came by and rescued us from that penalty, my friends, and now we're on our way to a glorious heaven. He says, I want to remind you, not only that, some of us had addictions. Some of us had all kind of other stuff happening in our life. We cried to God and God brought deliverance. But we need to remember what God did for us. And he's telling Israel, remember, I brought y'all out of slavery. I brought y'all out of Egypt. I mean, so therefore, y'all remember, I helped you get across when we talked about last Sunday, the Red Sea. I parted that Red Sea for you, and you went forward. I want you to remember what I did for you, amen. But watch this. He gives them that reminder, and then he says this. Part of the reminder. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now let's break this joker down. That here means this. Open means to loosen or to unstop. So in other words, some of us have our mouths stopped up. If your mouth is stopped up or your mouth is closed, you're not going to get much. That comes into the area of prayer. Sometimes we talk about the problem, but we ain't prayed about the problem. We'll tell everybody else, I'm going to tell you, it's awful. It's just this, it's this. You know, but have you talked to him yet? Have you cried to God? Have you opened your mouth wide toward him? Watch this. That word here, my friends, watch it now. That word open means to loosen. The word mouth means to speech. And like I was telling y'all Sunday, as young birds fed by the parent bird. Like a young bird opened his mouth and being fed by his parent. Who is our parent? God the Father. That's our daddy. And he said, when you open your mouth wide to me, I'm going to fill it. This is like when we had those little babies. When these guys were little and you had to feed them. And you know what you say? Open up. And sometimes, depending on how they felt, they say they weren't feeling too good. He said, open your mouth. They'd be like, they come on. And what you have to do, take the spoon or whatever you're feeding them and try to push in their mouth. So they can kind of, come on now, open it up. And they finally open their mouth up and you can get that food in them. That food gives them nourishment. Sometimes God got to come by us. So open up now. Open up your mouth. You're like, oh no, I'm hurting. Open your mouth. I'm going to give you a little bit. Open your mouth.
Amen.
But now watch this. When those kids was little, and when they was really hungry, and they, you say, you ready to eat? We go, ha! And they open their mouth real wide, and you can stick the food in there. And before you can get the spoon out their mouth, they go, hey, guys, back open for some more. Ah! You're like, good night, this boy hungry, amen? And you put that food in his mouth. My dear friends, what God is saying to us, he wants us to be hungry for him, open our mouths wide, and he said, I will fill it. Now that word fill it, wait a minute, that word fill it is a good word. That word fill it means to overflow. It means to satisfy. God says, you open your mouth wide, I'm not only filling, I'll overflow it, I will satisfy. I'll give you more than enough. I'm thinking about what God's doing right now with the property and all that kind of stuff. You know why? It's because we've been opening our mouths wide. Huh? But don't get ahead of God now. Sometimes we're in church, we'll sprint past it. God says, hold on. Like, God, wait a minute now. I got some stuff for you. I want you to open your mouth wide. Let me fill it. I don't want you to fill it. You ever been hungry? And then you start eating some candy? Then all of a sudden you're hungry no more. But did that candy fill you up? It temporarily gave you some satisfaction. But afterwards, you find your stomach turning all the time. Because all you do is eat a candy bar, and it satisfies you for a moment. But now, when you sit down, and a big old plate sitting there with some cornbread, some collard greens, perhaps some pork chop, you know, or maybe a little steak or something like that. Then you got some corn over there, and maybe some sweet potatoes. You know, I mean, and then you eat that food. You get done, you be like, but like I do, I'd be at the house of Jolene, I'll lean over to her. I said, I'm sick. And I lean over on the shoulder. She said, get up off me. You should have ate all that food. I said, I'm sick. She said, get up off me. You should have ate all that food. Nobody told you to eat 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Oops. But anyhow, though. But listen, my dear friends. Hey, when you get filled up for real, you're satisfied. You're full. And God says right here, if you open up your mouth wide, cry out to me, make room. Ooh, that word wide, I missed it, y'all. That means make room. Make room for me, he says, and I will fill it. I'll satisfy. I will overflow. Give you more than enough. This is a promise as well as a reminder. But then we have to turn the corner and go to some sad areas. We see God's disappointment. The Bible says in verse 11, But my people, figuratively that means my flock, but my people, my flock, my sheep, would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. What does that mean, preacher? You sure you want to know? That word here, would, means to breathe after or to be willing. In other words, he said, they were not breathing after me. They didn't want none of me. Now, I don't know about y'all. It don't feel good not to be wanted. I mean, can you imagine? I know this don't happen to none of us. But could you imagine going to your wife and putting your arm around her? She said, get your arms off me. Now, I don't know about you, but that hurt. That's the reason she don't want my arms around her. Baby, give me a kiss. Nuh-uh. She don't want no sugar. Now, I don't know about you, man, but that hurt. That, and y'all might be wondering, but man, I don't like rejection. I'm serious, man. I mean, there was a lot of girls I might would have asked, but I said, nah. You know, she like, get my face. So I just passed right by. Then later on, you find out they liked you. Like, man, you better know that. But instead, you know, fear of rejection. Nobody wants to be rejected. That's something, my friends, that's disappointing. And the Bible says here, my friends, we see God's disappointment. He says, my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would not of me. They don't want me. They not breathe after me. When you think about breathing after somebody, that means you just panting. You know? It's like brother, like Bill Payton did when he saw Rebecca, he just breathing hard after, hey, baby. She's like, get away from me. How long y'all been together? 14 years? Remember, how long y'all dating all this stuff? 15? How old were you guys when y'all started dating all that? You said, what? How old was you? What? What's wrong with you? But I'm sure, my dear friends, I mean, but she knew that he wanted her. She knew that. And my friends, you and I need to breathe after God, work after God, pant after God. And I'm going to tell you what, that pleases God. But God says they didn't want me. They did not want me. So what did God do? I said, he did nothing. No, he did something, friends. Because they didn't want him. If you and I don't want him, he ain't going to force himself on us. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. You know, by the way, if you're dating somebody, especially a guy, and she tells you no, no don't mean, I know guys, we get all things mixed, pretty confused. You know, sometimes the girl said, no, leave me, no. We're like, man, she won't be, man. No, she said no, amen. Leave me alone, amen. But watch what happens here. They don't want God, so God didn't force himself, but the Bible says this, verse number 12. So this is what I did, God says. So I gave them up unto their own heart. Lust, their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. God's not going to make you take his advice. God's not going to make you want to want him. He wants you to desire him. That's why he gives us something called a free will. A free will, a free choice. If you want God, God sure does want you. If you don't want God, God still wants you, but he'll let you go ahead your way. He'll let you make your own choice. Now, I know, now, if y'all like me, sometimes I wish God wouldn't let me make my own choice. I mean, like, God, I want you to tell me, amen. I want you to do it. Make me. But God said, I want you to be willing and desire to. But he said, if you don't, he says, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. That word hearts means their own feelings, their own will, their own intellect. I gave them up to their own desires. Look what it says here. That word lust, which is an interesting word in this verse. The word lust here means in the sense of twisted. Now, you think about when you say somebody's twisted, I mean, you said there's something wrong with them. And God said, I let them have their own twisted desires. That's deep, man. Look what he says right here. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, their own twisted desires, and they walk in their own counsel, that word counsel means their own purpose, their own plan. If you and I want to do our own plan, we can do it. God ain't going to stop you. He'll say, go ahead. And you're going to see what's going to happen. But what's wonderful about God, if we come back to him, you know what he does? He's waiting on us. When the prodigal son came to his dad, he said, Daddy, get my stuff. I want my stuff. He said, here you go. He said, son, no, you don't need this. You don't need to do this. He said, here you go. He went out there and wasted everything. But my friends, when he came to himself, he came back to the father. And the father met him down there on the road. Right. Hugging and kissing him. But he'll let you do your own thing. Because sometimes we force relationships. You know. But I just love him. I just love him. Everybody say, listen, leave them alone. I'm telling you. Like, oh, but I just love him. What did God say? Right. What does he say? Well, I don't know. He might not say what I want him to say. So you know, I don't want him to just change him. But ask him, first of all, are they the person that he wants you to have? Sometimes we're like, man, I don't know about that. But, my friends, you can go your own way. God will let you, but it's not going to be a good thing. Watch this. We're almost done. Listen to what it says here. He says, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. In other words, I'm going to call this their hurtful freedom. Their hurtful freedom. Sometimes freedom can be hurtful. It can be. But look what he goes on to say, though. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Verse 13, we see the continual disappointment. God's continual disappointment. He says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Just listen to me. And Israel had walked in my ways, in my course of life, the road I had for them, the pathway. All of them had just done that. Man, that brings disappointment to God. So I wish they would have. Why? Because this is what my pledge was. Listen to what it says next, folks. The missed victory. He says in verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Verse 14, he's saying this. The word subdue means I would have humbled their enemies. That means their adversaries, their foes. I would turn my hand, my power against their adversaries. That means their distress, their trouble. I would have helped them if they just listened to me. Just listen to me. That's a missed victory. But he goes on to say in verse, we like this. This is an update word. Verse 15. The haters of the Lord. We're not talking about they hating on me. He says the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. God says the haters would have been humbled, but their time would have been going on and on and on. I don't know about y'all, but I like continuous victory. Not missed victory, but continuous victory. Watch this. He goes on to say in verse 16. He says, he should have fed them also. Ooh, guys, with the finest of the wheat. That word finest means the choice part, the best wheat. He goes on to say, and with honey. Ooh. Y'all, how many of y'all like honey? I love honey. Y'all ever done this? This is a little side note. But you ever done this? Gotten some peanut butter? And yeah. And put some honey in the peanut butter and then mix it all together and then put it on some bread, lightly toasted. Ooh. You don't need no jelly. Some of y'all go home and I'm telling y'all, they said, how do you know about that? Because we ran out of jelly one time, amen. And we had to make, and sometimes you can use syrup sandwich, put some syrup in there too. But I'm going to tell you what, my friends, it's sweet, it tastes so good. And sometimes that's what I'll do. I'll just get me a bowl at the house sometimes, and I'll put some peanut butter in there. I'll put some, I'll spread some honey on top of it. I'll mix it all together. Now I'll stop on a total of 4 pieces of bread, sorry. But anyhow, though, and I heat that joker up, man, it's good. Peanut butter has protein. That's a good thing. And honey is good for you too. Amen. And wheat bread. I use wheat bread. So I was eating healthy. And yeah. Hallelujah on that one. Amen. Listen. God says, listen. If you had just done what I said, if just followed me, I would have gave you the best of wheat. I would have given you honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? That word satisfied here means to feel to satisfaction. I know, I guarantee you, every single person here would love to be filled to satisfaction. Well, guess what? You can. Amen. But you got to do it His way. Amen. Yeah, but I want, God has pledged this. If you listen to me, do what I say do. And listen, you will be satisfied, satisfied, satisfied if you follow my instructions. In other words, listen, but then also obey. Do exactly what I say do. If you do that, you'll be more than satisfied. Some of us ain't satisfied because we ain't doing what He said to do. We don't worship. We don't pray like we ought to. You know? I mean, we go through emotions, you know. Like, we eat that food. And we'll thank you for this food we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, I felt that so heartfelt. Didn't y'all feel it? We in a race. Food getting cold, preacher. No, my dear friends, let the food get cold, but pray and say, God, thank you so much for this food. Thank you, Lord, so much for this car. Thank you for this house. Thank you for my family, my home, my marriage, my wife, my children. Thank you so much. You've been so good. From my heart, a heartfelt request, a heartfelt prayer to God. You know, I'm not done. You know that many times I've stood out in the street here on Fairbanks. And as I stopped on the street, I pulled up, and then somebody stood there, and I just looked at the church. I looked at the property. And in my mind, in my head, I could just see all this stuff. You know, like I could just see us, that property over there. I was like, man, wouldn't that be something? We had all that right there. And I could see all this. And I could see the parking lot. I could see the building. I could see, you know, and just, and then everybody going by and saying, you know what? God did that.
Amen.
Right over in Black Oak.
Right.
I mean, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all got friends. And you say, hey, we go to church over somewhere. Where's that at? Over in Black Oak. Yeah, do they give y'all bulletproof vests when y'all come to the church? Y'all got armed guards outside? I mean, my goodness. But my dear friends, that's what's so awesome about the God that we serve. He likes to do something, my friends, that blows everybody's mind. It shocks them. And they sit there amazed at what God has done.
Amen.
I've sat down just watching it, and then I'm like, man. Now I'm thinking, I mean, we got that property over there. I'm like, wow. You know, and then 120 days, we're going to do what we want to do. I'm like, wow. We still start parking in right now if we want to, you know. But I mean, I'm like, wow. You know? And then how everything just kind of coming together. There are prayers I prayed that are now just now starting to come to fruition. I believe that's the correct word to say. I mean, it's just now starting. We look at something. How are we going to do about that building? Okay, we got a guy sitting here. He's not here tonight, but he works in the fire department. Corey. And he says, you know what the fire department does sometimes? We'll take some buildings like that, and we'll use those for training.
Right.
We burn them down for free.
Amen.
These are my dear friends. I mean, hey, can you imagine the fire? And if it all comes about like we're thinking it will, if it does, I'm telling y'all, I'm going to be out here with my video camera. So look at God, burn it down. Burn, baby, burn, amen. Listen, my dear friends, say, hey, God got some things on fire, amen. And that's how the God we serve, that's what he does. He's a fiery God, a life-changing God. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, where's it start with? Opening your mouth up wide. But not only that, doing exactly what he says do. If he says, make one step. It's like playing Simon Says. You know, Simon Says, make one step forward. Simon Says, jump. Stop. You're out. See, what happens is, God says, jump. Then Satan says, stop. We go. All right. Yes, I'm going to go. All right, Simon says, listen, my dear friends, just do what he says. I know what some of us are saying. How do you know what he says? If you don't get to know him, any of us, we've got to be in the Word. I know sometimes it gets so boring. Preacher! Sorry. Because you'll start reading it and it seems like ain't nothing happening. Like you ain't getting nowhere. It's like, okay. And he begat, and she begat, and they begat. And everybody begat. I mean, come on. I mean, what's the purpose of that? There is a purpose. Sometimes the purpose might be simply patience, endurance, continue on. Because, hey, how many of y'all ever got a job and had to go through orientation? Well, not so much fun. It was boring. You're sitting in orientation, and they got that you're watching the video, like they cut, and then cut the light out. You're sitting there going,
right.
We're going to have a quiz afterwards. You're like, and then it's like everything start coming together. And like, it'd be like that. And then, like some of y'all do on church on Sunday, y'all be sitting here going to sleep. I mean, it's like it start crossing. But it's like your eyes start crossing, you'd be like all over the place. And then you'd be like, I mean, it's just like, it'd be like so boring. The next day, the day after. But you do know that after orientation, there's work. After there's work, there's something called a whether it's Friday, whether it's Wednesday, whether it's Tuesday, whatever day you get paid. I mean, you so happy that day? Everybody, what's wrong with you? I'm just happy. You know why? Because it's payday. Them bills are coming up. We're so happy. Ooh, it's payday. It's payday. Listen, my dear friends, God's got a payday for us when we simply obey him, hearken to him, listen to him. God keeps his pledge. He keeps his promise. He keeps his oath. He has never lied to us. We've been serving God now since 89, which is what, 9 from 11, 22 years. Amen. And you know what? God ain't failed us not one time. Are you saying, preacher, they haven't been tired? You been nervous? You ain't been nervous? Sure. Are you saying there's not been time you say, no, I'm going to do my own thing? Sure. But I knew if I did my own thing, I knew those consequences were going to come with that. Now, some of them say, you know what? Now, listen. Don't go home. So I'm just saying what I did, okay? There have been times I don't know if it's the right way to do, but this is what I felt on the inside. I've been honest with God. I said, you know what, God? If you won't do nothing, then I'm going to have to do something. And even when I say that, I know, you're on your own, buddy. But you know what I was doing to God? I was confessing to God that I was struggling. God, do something. God, I'm frustrated. And a lot of times I just empty myself out, and I'm sincere, I'm honest. It's amazing how God comes by and says, you know what? I'm so glad you said that. You've been walking around trying to say, everything's good. And the inside I'm like, oh God. You know, but I'm lying to everybody else, and then lying to him. God, you're wonderful. Oh, I'm so blessed. You inside like, man, what's going on here? God, you sure you don't ever sleep or slumber? But I don't know. Listen, my dear friends, be honest with them. Amen. If you're frustrated, be honest. Don't be playing. Get this serious. Be honest with God. I'm frustrated. I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. I know I probably shouldn't say I don't understand. But I don't understand. God wants us to be honest with him. If you're confused, say, God, I am confused. I'm confused. And God says, thank you so much for being honest. Now I can help you. I can diagnose your situation. I can prescribe to you the right type of medication spiritually that you need to take because you're being honest. And this is what we should do. Pretend like you're actually going to a physical doctor that you can see. And when he comes and asks you, okay, Miss Sharon, what's wrong? Don't not tell him about the tingling in your toes. Well, I want to tell him my toes been tingling because he might think I might have diabetic problems. No, be honest. I have tingling in my toes. You know, I mean, that's why Jolene go with me because, hey, let me tell you. Let me give you a little bit of it. Because he goes, how's that? I'm good. I'm going great. She said, well, you said the other day you were having chest pain. I said, I'm like, it's okay. It's good. Yeah, I had a little bit. It wasn't no big thing. You know, well, you were sitting there going, I can't move. Not telling the doctor you can't move. But when you tell him, you be honest. Then the doctor said, okay, maybe we need to change the medication. Maybe we need to do this. Maybe let's run some tests here. When you come to God, be the same. Just do it the same thing, the same way. Come to God, but be honest. And say, Lord, I'm having these issues. I'm having some fear problems. I'm having some anxiety. I'm having some stress. I'm having some worry. And Lord, I'm coming to you because there's nowhere else to go. Please help me. And God said, okay, this time I'm going to help you. What are you saying? God keeps his promises. He keeps his pledge. Let me give you this and we're done. Let me give you this. How do you receive the victory? Very simple. The Bible says in verse number 8, hear. Preach, that's all you got? Mm-hmm. Hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, if you'll do this. Hearken, he starts off with saying hear, and he says hearken. In other words, he wants us to do something called listen. And that word also has the connotation of also obeying. You sing the song, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We sing it, but do we practice it? I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to have some victory. Amen. Here's my statement to us tonight. Let's ask God for the extra strength to listen. Ask God for the extra strength to listen. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Now I pray, God, that somehow, some way, your precious words have encouraged someone that's hurting on the inside. Or perhaps they're confused by some things in their life. But I pray, God, you give them strength tonight. I pray, God, that some of them will come to you and kneel if they can. If they can't kneel, just stand around the altars. But simply be honest with you. Be honest. Be sincere. Be real. Be real. And say, oh, God, please. You know where I'm at. And only you can help me, Father. I pray, God, you do that for someone here tonight. And then, God, perhaps there's someone that needs to pray for somebody that's going through a tough time, a hard time, a time of confusion. And they want to pray for that person that they care about. I pray, God, they come to the office tonight and pray for that person. God, help us, please. We really, really need your help. And if there's anything else that needs to take place tonight, I pray, God, that take place as we trust you. For it's in your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's all.